We're coming back to John 10 again, and verse 27, 28 really are the verses I'd like to major on. John 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." There is no greater passage in all of the Bible for the Christian's security. One has said that if one soul trusted in Christ should be missing in heaven, there would be a vacant seat there, there would be a crown unused, one harp unstrung, and this would grieve all heaven and proclaim a disappointed God. And all of this because the Lord is the shepherd of his sheep, and his design and purpose is to bring every sheep and every lamb home to glory. That's his work. That's his mission. And that's his purpose in our lives as God's people. And I trust today that you will learn the joy of the security that is in having the Lord as our shepherd. Mr. Pink points out that there is a sevenfold strand to the rope of the believer's security in these verses. I want to just list those seven very quickly. Firstly, we are said to be Christ's sheep. And of course, anything that belongs to the Lord Jesus are secure, are safe. Secondly, these sheep follow him. They do not remain in the world. They do not remain behind, but they follow the Lord whithersoever he goeth. To these sheep are given eternal life. And that which is eternal cannot be just for a day or two. It cannot just be for a year or two. It cannot just last for our lifetime. It is eternal life. Therefore, it is life that goes beyond the grave and throughout all of eternity. Fourthly, we are told that this life is given. It's not life that you work up. It's not life that you produce. It's not life that you draw from your own well. But it is life that is completely given. It's a gift. It's from God. And in grace, he bestows it, and he applies it in our lives, and he leads us through to a full enjoyment of it. And then fifthly, it is specifically and directly declared that these sheep never perish. Just in case we missed the point. Just in case we didn't pick up on the absolutes already given here. It is directly stated, these sheep never perish. Even though we go senile, even though we forget every verse that we learned in the Bible and lose our minds, even though we feel in this world, feel miserably, even though we become the weakest, most pathetic example of a Christian, to the Lord he gives sheep, and we're told they never perish. Number six, we're told that none is able to pluck them out of the Lord Jesus' hand. How many might try? Satan would try it. The world would try it. Ungodly friends would try it. There are those in the workplace and those that we may live close by to, and they would try to draw us away and to ruin our testimony and ruin our walk with the Lord. But it is directly said that none will pluck us from the Savior's hand. And then, just in case we didn't rest in that, it goes on to say, seventhly, that none are plucked from the Father's hand. And in case you have some concern that our Lord Jesus is not all the deity and all divine, and has all the power of God in him, here is the capstone in all of these statements of the believer's security in Christ. None will pluck us out of the Father's hand. even when the Lord Jesus presents us to the Father, spotless, without wrinkle, and says, Father, here are the sheep, every one of them that you've given to me, and I'm handing them over to you, Father, as my bride, as my church. And I'm presenting them back to you. Father, they're thine. You gave them me, and I bring them to you in glory. And here we're told that none shall pluck them out of the Father's hand. It's a great thing, therefore, to be one of the Lord's sheep. And once you are one of His sheep, there is no need to fear that you may be lost at last. There is no need to be concerned that you may strive well for a little time, but then lose your soul. No, if you are truly the Lord's sheep, you are truly saved, and you will truly be in glory for all eternity. But the question is, are we truly the Lord's sheep? It always comes back to that, doesn't it? We need to look, therefore, at some of the marks of the Lord's sheep. In my home area, where farmers had various plots of land and fields in various places, each farmer had his own mark for his sheep. In our farm, it was a red painted mark all right on the back of their necks. And so in our townland or countryside, even our sheep should stray, our neighboring farmers would recognize them. And for the most part, they were honest enough to give us a phone call and say, look, we've discovered some of your sheep and they're here or there. Our adjoining neighbor, his mark was a blue mark in the middle of the back. And each local farmer had a different way of marking the sheep so that they would be easily identified. Another farmer nearby had a green mark, and so they were easily identified. Now, the Lord has marked His sheep in a very special way that they are identified and they are knowable. And I hope that as we go through a number of these marks of the Lord's sheep, that you will be able to say, there is no doubt about it, I belong to the Lord. And I am truly one of His sheep, and He is my shepherd. And therefore I can say that I have that absolute security, that I shall never perish, and none shall pluck me from my Savior's hand, nor from the Father's hand. Now you'll notice in verse 26 that we cannot all be one of the Lord's sheep. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. And this is the discrimination that we must make in preaching the gospel. It would be unfaithful, and it would be downright deceitful for any preacher to say, well, we're all the Lord's sheep. Doesn't matter who you are, or where you're born, or what you believe. As long as you want to be a Christian, you can be a Christian. It would be a deceitful thing to say universally that all people belong to the Lord Jesus. It is evident here that some cannot be. And the Lord refers to His sheep peculiar, specifically, as my sheep. My sheep. And so in all of the world there are a people, a number of people who are or will be the Lord's own special sheep. In this case, the Lord was speaking to Jews. And of course, they built on the assumption that all Jews were the Lord's people and were going to heaven. But our Lord had a word for them. Not all are my sheep. My sheep are specially branded and marked. We can preach the same thing to Protestants today or to evangelicals today. And there is the assumption that if you are by birth a Protestant, or by church connection a Protestant, or if you are an evangelical or amongst evangelical people, then you are automatically one of the Lord's sheep. But if our Lord Jesus was in our midst today and speaking as this word speaks to us, He would have to say that ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep. And He goes on to identify various marks concerning His own sheep. And that is our purpose today, to go through these marks of the Lord's sheep. I want you to notice in verse 29 their pedigree. they are pedigree sheep. Verse 29, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And the pedigree of these sheep is that they have from all eternity been given by the Father to the Son. They are given sheep. That's their pedigree. They are given in the counsels of God's eternity. They are given in the sovereign good pleasure of a God of grace, who without reason and without cause, He gives to His own Son, the Lord Jesus, these particular sheep to be His covenant sheep. And because there is this agreement between the Father and the Son from all eternity, that a particular number of people, called here sheep, would be saved and included in the work and scheme of redemption, these sheep are said to be given by the Father to the Son. And so therefore, their pedigree is not universal. We cannot preach universalism, that God from all eternity intended to take every single person to heaven. First of all, it doesn't happen. There are multitudes who lose their souls. Our Lord Jesus said, broad is the way to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Broad is the way to destruction, but narrow is the way to life, and few there be that go in thereat. And so all of these sheep are given by the Father to the Son. Their pedigree is not all children of Christian parents or believing parents. We have that grand example of the children of Isaac, Jacob and Esau. And the Lord loved Jacob. There's no reason given. And with all the twisted characteristics of Jacob, we are amazed. Why would God love Jacob so much and set His love upon Jacob? And all the while Esau, God has no purpose of grace for him. And we're specifically told in the book of Romans that Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Both born of the same parents, both had the same privileges in growing up as sons of patriarchs, great privileges brought out of the Ur of the Chaldees, already in the promised land. But Esau was not one of the Lord's sheep, and therefore he was not included in the family of God, although he was in the family of Jacob or the family of Isaac. And so we have to say, and this is a very humbling confession, a very humbling statement, that every sheep is sovereignly chosen for no good reason, no reason in the sheep, not because they're better, not because of their parents, not because of their church or religious affiliation, but sovereignly. And if we understand the meaning of sovereign, it means that God does the choosing, and who shall ask the potter, what doest thou with the clay? And in His great mercy, He chooses those for heaven. Now this is the difference between sheep marked for heaven and hell. Our Westminster Confession of Faith states very clearly that this number of the elect can neither be increased nor diminished. And in the decree of eternal election, God has set the number that will be brought into glory, the number that will be saved and brought into the Son. That cannot be changed. My, what an amazing truth and statement this is. And it's backed up by Scripture. The Bible is filled with it. We are told here in this verse 29, my Father, which gave them me, these are given sheep. And so if you are saved today and you are born again of the Spirit and truly the Lord's sheep, you have to say, what an amazing thing that in eternity, God said to the Son, and I'll use my name, but I hope you'll use your name. There was a time when God said to the Son, take Ian Gollaher as one of your sheep. Take him as one for whom you will become a redeemer. Take him as a sheep, and you will be his shepherd. And you will go into the world and lead him out of sin, and as a shepherd lay down your life. And the son said, yes, I will take Ian Gollaher. And you put your name in there. I will take that soul, and I will be his shepherd, her shepherd. And I will be a specific savior for that specific sheep. Ah, what a pedigree we have. We are sheep given by the Father to the Son. That's our pedigree. Grace is our pedigree. Not race, not religion, not tradition, not some church rite. No, grace. It all goes back to free, sovereign grace. That for which there was no cause in us, but we were given by the Father to the Son. That's the mark of the Lord's sheep. And then in verse 27, you'll notice that the Lord accepts these sheep. Their acceptance by the Son is seen here. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Now, this statement, I know them, is much more than our Lord Jesus saying, well, I'm omniscient and I know everyone. No, I know them in the sense I set my love upon them. I make them the focus of my mission to earth, to Calvary, and to build my church. I accept them. I will love them with that special redeeming love. And I will do all for them as their shepherd. Now this is to love and accept as personal, one by one, each sheep. And in me preaching this, we've got a bit of a problem because the plural of one sheep, when you make it two sheep, you've still got sheep. But in the intent of this whole passage, each sheep is individual. The Lord loves his church, no doubt, as a body of believers from all periods of time and all places. But each and every sheep is marked. Each and every sheep is known and loved and included in all the grace of our Lord Jesus, and we are accepted by him. There's no sweeter word in all of gospel preaching than the word to be accepted by the beloved. Just to be accepted as we are. When you came into church this morning, you ought not to be come and say, well, I'm going to church because I want the Lord to love me. I want the Lord to accept me. I want the Lord to take me in as one of his children. No, we come to church because we're already accepted. We're already beloved. We're already one of his children. Over in Ephesians 1, I want you to read this with me. Ephesians 1 and verses 4 through 6. You have this word accepted. And you know, it can change your whole Christian life if you get a grasp of what it is just to be accepted in the beloved. And I read verses 4 to 6 because here you have the eternal plan in this. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Here is the Father choosing. Here is the Father before we were ever born, before the world was ever created, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated, which simply means setting our destiny in advance, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. There is the sovereignty of it. There is the free grace of it. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Ephesians 1:6, where he has made us accepted. There was a time when we were not accepted. There was a time when we were polluted in our sins, but when God chose us, he chose us that we would be accepted in the beloved of the Lord Jesus. And the Father planned this, the Father purposed this, while we were yet sinners. while we were polluted and plagued by sin, while we were sons of Adam and rebels to God, God in His matchless grace, in His sovereign good pleasure, for the praise and the glory of His own grace. This is the purpose. He wanted to be glorified, to exhibit His mercy and His loving kindness to the most unworthy of souls. And therein He makes us accepted in His own Son. And the Lord Jesus takes us in freely. It is a legal acceptance, but it's also a loving acceptance. And we're loved of the Son. We're called the Beloved, and He is our Beloved. And in the Song of Solomon, you have those wonderful endearing terms of the bride and her groom and her husband. And there is that love relationship. And when our Lord Jesus accepted us, He didn't just take us in as a chattel. He didn't take us in just as an asset or something to be included in His herd. No, He set His love upon us to be His bride, to be His beloved. And it's a wonderful thing to be one of the Lord's sheep and to be marked as the beloved of that shepherd. And if this was in our home area where I grew up as a boy, and you were one of the sheep so marked, you would be known exactly, that's the sheep belonging to that shepherd. You would be known as belonging to that owner. And if you today are saved by grace and brought into the family of God, you are accepted by the Lord Jesus. You are His sheep, and He calls you My sheep. And He comes as the good shepherd to take care and to look after His own sheep. What a privilege, what a blessing to be His sheep. Now as we move on in John 10, you'll notice in verse 27, My sheep hear My voice. That's another one of the marks of these sheep. My sheep hear My voice. And in the parable that the Lord told at the beginning of this chapter, in verse 3 we're told that the porter openeth, and the sheep hear His voice, and He calleth His own sheep by name and leadeth them out. He calls each sheep by name. This doesn't say, come, flock. That would be the general term for the whole church, flock. And the Lord calls His church His little flock, but He calls His own sheep by name. Now the setting in the parable that the Lord told in verses 1 to 3 was when the shepherd brought his sheep back from the hillside at night, and brought them into the fold, there was a porter. There was a boy, perhaps a young boy, who would sleep on the doorway. And he might fold the sheep belonging to a number of shepherds. And inside that fold, there would be maybe the sheep belonging to 5, 6 shepherds. Those shepherds would go off to their homes for the evening and return in the morning. And of course, you might have in one fold 50 sheep belonging to all kinds of shepherds. And the shepherd in the morning would come and he wouldn't take the whole flock out. He would call his own sheep. And he would go to the doorway and he would call his own sheep. They hear his voice and they follow him. They know the voice of their shepherd. This is the miracle of grace, that in the world, while there are many voices, there's the voice of Satan, there's the voice of darkness, there's the voice of worldliness and materialism, there's the voices of philosophy and the thinking of the imaginations of men. But the Lord goes through the earth and He calls His own sheep by name and His people hear His voice. This is the mark of true sheep. They hear His voice. And it is that hearing of faith, that hearing of grace. It is that miracle of regeneration whereby our heart that once listened to the voice of the world and the voice of the enemy, now we have a heart that is open and we love to hear the shepherd's voice. And that is the sweetest voice in all the world. The very voice of our Lord Jesus. And in this hearing of faith is a great miracle of salvation. Because when the Father gave His sheep to the Son, He said, I make in you their Redeemer. And you will do a miracle in making these sheep follow you and serve you. And so the Lord Jesus undertakes the miracle of opening our hearts, unstopping our deaf ears. And that's how the Bible describes this effectual call of the gospel, the unstopping of deaf ears. And if you remember the night when the Lord came calling for Samuel, and I think we can say that that was the night of Samuel's conversion, and he heard the Savior calling, and Samuel heard that voice and said, Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Has there been a time in your life when you heard the shepherd's voice behind the preacher, way beyond earthly influences? You heard the voice of the Lord Jesus calling you by name. And there was an hour in your experience when you knew, this is the moment, this is the hour that I must obey the voice of my Lord and my Savior. Up until then, you were deaf. You were heedless and thoughtless and careless about the Lord. You heard the gospel, the same message, the same influences, but you had no heart to respond because you were deaf and your ears were still stopped up by the world. But then in grace, this good shepherd comes and he knows his sheep and he calls you by name and you hear that voice. This is the miracle of saving grace and the mark of true sheep. I can testify today that I was 18 years old when I heard that effectual call of the Savior calling me. I cannot say that I heard the gospel for all of those 18 years, but there were times when, no doubt, I heard something of the gospel, but I had no interest, absolutely no interest. I was too full of the world. I wanted to get ahead in this world. But there came a point after hearing the preaching of the gospel when there was only one thing that mattered, only one thing that really mattered, and that was to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, to be one of His, to belong to Him. And I can look back and I can read these verses now in John 10 and say, that's me. There I was just like one of these sheep being called. Do you have that testimony today? Do you have that mark of the Lord Jesus in your life? And you know that you have heard the Savior calling? If not, you're not one of His. And you must open your heart, turn to Him, and say, Lord, call me. And that would seem to be a contradiction, because if only the Lord can open the heart and only the Lord can unstop ears, who would even ask for this? But that's the miracle, isn't it? The very thing that you want to be one of the sheep, the very fact that you want to be one of His, tells you that the Lord has already opened your heart. Because without grace, without this miracle of regeneration, worldly men never want to follow the Lord Jesus. They don't want to hear His voice. They have no interest in hearing Him. All they want to be is follow their own natural ways and their own sinful ways. So if you're here today and saying, boy, I would love to be one of the Lord's sheep. I would love to know for sure that I'm one of His. Then the Lord has already put grace in your heart. And He certainly is calling you. Because it is not natural to desire to be a Christian. It's not natural to desire to be a sheep in the fold of our Lord Jesus. So come and rejoice that He sets His love upon His sheep. And He includes all those that will call upon Him. His promises are free to all who will call upon His name. So that is their hearing. Now, the Lord's sheep hear other things. When you are one of the Lord's sheep, not only do you hear the shepherd's voice, but you hear the horrors of sin. This new insight, this new hearing that you have, the Lord's sheep, you hear the fact that you have broken the moral law. You hear the fact that you have hated a holy God. Now, people may have told you all along, sin is wrong, the Ten Commandments are true, and you need to live according to God's standard. And you said, oh, tush, what do I care? What is that to me? But now, when the shepherd's voice is heard, the hearing of your ear is opened, and you realize that the law of God is that which you have transgressed. And you are a covenant breaker, and you feel the very law of Sinai, and all the thunderings of the law against you. And the Lord's sheep are convicted of their sin, and they recognize the horror of sin, and what it has done to a holy God, and how it has nailed your Lord Jesus to the very cross. And you hate those sins, because those sins drew the blood of the Lord Jesus from His peerless body. And it was your sin that took Him to Calvary. And the mark of the Lord's sheep is that you hear these things in the inner places of your soul. The Lord's sheep also hear the horrors of hell. To the ungodly and the worldly that is never called, judgment is not real, fire is not real. But to the Lord's sheep, judgment becomes a very great reality. And we begin to recognize, yes, one day I will stand before God. And one day I shall be judged for every deed and word. And if I should be lost, that fire is real torment, and it's really for all eternity. And the Lord's sheep desire to flee from the wrath to come and to cleave to their Savior, who took that wrath on His own body on the cross. And so these sheep hear these truths of the gospel and truths of spiritual things, perhaps for the first time. But also the Lord's sheep hear of the blessings of being a sheep in Christ. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places. They hear the truth and the reality of our Lord's love. And I know I've emphasized this already, but this really is the delight of the sheep. That Jesus loves me. And I think of the story of Gresham Machen, the Greek scholar at Princeton Seminary. And he stood before his students, and they asked him to sum up theology. And he took the hymn book and he said, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." The tears going down his cheeks, that Greek professor, a New Testament, displayed, as I don't think there's any better way of displaying, just to know that Jesus loves me. That is to be blessed indeed. And that on the cross our Lord laid down His life for us. Substitution, vicarious atonement, these become the most precious truths in all the vocabulary of the Christian. And when we look at Calvary and we see the form of our Lord Jesus dying in His gore and blood, we do not merely see a stranger on that tree. We see our lover, our friend, our Savior, and we see Him there in our place, our substitute, bearing our sins and our shame in His own body. We gaze and we wonder that His life was laid down to give life to His sheep. These are wonderful blessings that come to the sheep that hear His voice. And thus, the Lord's sheep love these eternal realities and truths. Eternity, heaven, judgment, the promises of God. We could go on and on. I could preach these things, and we could delight ourselves in these riches of Christ. That's how Paul describes them. The riches of our Lord Jesus. Let me ask you, Christian, are you living a rich Christian life? Now, some people think if you're living a rich Christian life, you must be driving a Jaguar car, living in a mansion, you know, a job that's 3 hours a day with three times the pay. That would seem to most people to be living it up in riches. But you could be poor as a mouse. You could be living in a cardboard box in the street and be enjoying all the riches of the Lord Jesus. Because they are spiritual riches, eternal riches. And as we began, there is to the true sheep eternal security. I love this gospel, and I love what we call the Reformed interpretation and view of the gospel, because it does not leave me dangling on the end of a rope, saying, if you just hold on long enough, you just might get into heaven. That would dement me day and night. That would put me on the treadmill of works, guilt-tripping me, wondering, have I done enough today to continue on to be one of the Lord's sheep? No, this is a security in Christ. This is a safety in Christ. Because when we're given sheep, and when our Lord Jesus has become our surety, our Savior and Redeemer and purchased all things for us, then we know that we are saved today and saved for eternity. Hallelujah. Just say hallelujah. Just let your soul bask in this amazing wonder that you could be for all eternity one of the sheep, the Lord's mark upon you. No matter who sees you, you belong to Jesus. And even when the devil comes and he seeks to do his worst, you're branded for heaven. And your place in heaven will not be left empty. Your crown will not be left unused. Your harp will be not unstrung. Your voice will not be unheard there. God will not be disappointed. Our Lord Jesus will not have failed, because every one of his sheep he raises up. We're told in John 6:40 that none is left behind. He raises them up to eternal glory. Now there's another mark of these sheep I want to close with, and that is that these sheep follow the shepherd. They hear his voice and they follow him. That's what it is to be a Christian, a follower of the Lord Jesus. And while there are many ways you can live your life, and you have the freedom in Canada to almost live as you like, it seems in this wicked age that all restraints are off, that you can be and do anything you like. You know what? One of the Lord's sheep can do that too. The Lord's sheep can do anything he likes. Now let me clarify that. Just in case someone says, as they said to Paul, does that mean because I'm safe in Christ, now I am free to sin? Paul said, God forbid. God forbid that any man should take grace as a license to sin. No, the Lord's sheep, regenerated, born of the Spirit, delighting in the blessings of Christ as their shepherd, he will do as he likes. Because what he likes is to follow Jesus. They hear his voice and they follow him. And there's the mark. That's the outward mark. I believe the most obvious mark to the eye of man as well as the eye of the Lord. This is the evidence of a new heart, and that you're born again and that you're one of the Lord's people. That you follow him. You hear his voice. You hear his commands. You love to do his will. His word is your delight. You follow him. You're a disciple. You're a Christian. And being one of the Lord's sheep means that you don't graze in any pasture. Ah, no, you don't need barbed wire to keep the true convert in. You don't need net wire either. Some sheep are pretty hard to hedge in and they wander. But true sheep love the Savior's pasture. And they want to be in the feeding ground where the Lord Jesus is. The Song of Solomon again draws that picture of the white sheep. And they are feeding where their beloved is found. The very fact that you've come here gladly and heartily today to hear the Lord's word. That may well be one of the marks that you want to feed. You want to be in the place where the Lord Jesus feeds his sheep. I trust you're a follower today, that you have a new life, a new purpose, walking in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. If you can picture in your mind the Eastern Shepherd as he took those sheep from the fold, he went and he called them out by name and he leads them out. He goes in front. He doesn't drive them. Here in the West, we are inclined to herd sheep, driving them. But the Shepherd of the East goes before, and the sheep follow in a row behind in the footsteps of the master. What a wonderful, beautiful picture of the relationship and the obedience of the true convert who is a follower of the Lord Jesus. I don't think we could come up with a better parable than our Lord's in this description that He has given so clearly and so beautifully here. And now you have to ask, are you following in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus? Is that your heart's delight and desire? Who will go? Who will hear His voice? And the negative question of that is, who can be held back? Who can stay back? Are you so listening to the voices of this world and to darkness that you will shut your ears to the shepherd's voice and will not follow Him? How could you? How could you? You see, it's not normal to stay behind. It's not normal to not want to follow the Lord Jesus, because this is truth and righteousness and peace and blessedness. Everything else is abnormal. And while the world looks upon Christians as weirdos and rare idiots at times, let me tell you, to walk in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus is normal. It's the right thing. It's the good way. And oh, as the Psalm 23 tells us, the shepherd leads us beside still waters and to feed in the green pastures. And we love His rod and staff. They comfort us. The rod to drive away the enemies, the staff to shepherd us. What a blessing to be one of the Lord's sheep. I hope you have the mark. I hope you're one of His. I trust that you can identify with these marks today, and that you will truly be a follower of our Lord Jesus every day.